Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to take you into a message today entitled A Soul with Choice. Every one of us been given choice by God. The Bible said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Amen. Even after you get born again, you still are a soul with choice. You make choices, and those choices need to be inside of the scriptures. Glory to God. I want to give you a biblical foundation for some of the things we're going to be dealing with today. And I want to start in Titus chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. And I want you to look at it. And Paul was telling Titus that I left thee in Crete. Glory to God. Crete is an island in the Mediterranean, and it was in that region Paul left Titus to set some things in order. There were some things that was being taught that wasn't in line with godliness, and Paul wanted to deal with it. In Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 10 down to verse 15, he talk about some of those things. It says, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adore the doctrine of God. Paul wanted the world to adore the doctrine of God. Whenever the doctrine of God, or whenever a doctrine per se that call itself God, start embarrassing the gospel, then someone needs to be set in the region to deal with that gospel. Amen. And it's not just for a local assembly. It is for the region. It is for the area. It is for all the churches. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, I teach everywhere in every church the same doctrine. So he had sent Titus in this region, and in other region he sent Timothy, and he would send other men and women of God, because he said, you are partakers of my grace. And he would defend the gospel. The Bible said he was set for the defense of the gospel and to contend for the faith. Glory to God, that was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Any grace teaching that leads you to think that grace covers sin is not the grace of God. The grace of God teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that you should live righteously and soberly. Any cross teaching teaches you to live a righteous life. Amen. It don't teach you to live an ungodly life and say because you believe in it, you're okay, or say because we're under grace, you're okay. No, the teaching of the grace of God will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Now look at verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We need to be purified. We need to be free from all iniquity, all sin, and only a pure gospel can do that. Look at the last verse. It says in verse 15, these things speak and exalt and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Now in 1 Timothy 5 verse 20, he was dealing with elders, and he said, don't receive an accusation against an elder except it be by two or three witnesses. Now once you've done that, then them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. You can see an example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14 and 15 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7 through 9. Paul had to deal with certain people in the church, and that was being a bad example to the church, and he dealt with them openly. This is what God is calling true ministers of the gospel to do in this hour when the gospel of God is brought low. God bless you. Let's go now into the message.
Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What did the scripture just say right there? Everybody together. Because here, I'm telling you right here is where the problem lies. Okay? Because the cross did not give you a right to sin and say, just because I believe in what he did, I'm okay in my sin. And that's exactly what they preach it. So tell the folks the truth. So it says, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I promise you, if you stick with the scripture, you won't go wrong. Man is a soul. That's what you are. You are soul. Nowhere in the Bible where God say that man is something else other than what Genesis just said. Man became a living soul. Now, when he sinned, he was just a dead soul, but he was still a soul. Okay? Please keep that in your mind. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay. Now, the subject I want to use this morning is a soul with choice. Every one of us, God made us a soul with choice. You make choices all the time. You was the one made the choice to dress yourself this morning. God didn't come dress you. Demons didn't dress you. You chose to get up and put on whatever you wanted to put on. You chose to come to the ministry this morning. You're going to choose, if you live tomorrow, to get up and go to work and do whatever. You're a soul with choice. Now, Satan would like us to believe that when it come to God, we ain't got no choice. He wants folks to believe that when it come to God and walking with him, that's the most difficult thing in the world. Anybody that want to serve God, it's just as simple as making a choice, just like it is to make a choice to put on your clothes. Yeah. Choice. You're a soul with choice. Yeah. So when it comes down to God, always remember God made you a soul with choice. It is your choice. And all you need now is the truth. And then the Bible declares that the truth make you free. And the only reason people struggle in this thing and walking in the spirit is because they've been taught so much stuff, and lies make you struggle. I'm a witness, because I done struggled before. I know firsthand how much you can love God and can't maintain God. But God showed me the problem. It was the lies that I had been taught. It was the things that my elders taught me, and some of them was good elders. Some of them was good people. They were just teaching me what they was taught. Until God began to tell me to search the scriptures for yourself. And when I begin to get the revelation that, wait a minute, this not right because it got a little leaven in it. And when you start getting the truth and getting the leaven out of what you think you know about God, you'll find that serving God is the most easiest thing you will ever do. It's just as natural as breathing. But it's tough when there are misconceptions of truth. And that's been the problem in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. This word is what you need. And we put money behind this word, because this word going to get you ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, let me just go through this little scenario here. Write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Most of you probably already have this in your notes. And then Proverbs 20, verse 27. Because these are some favorite scriptures that most preach and teach on. Okay. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of man, listen to what he said now, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Then he tell you the function of the spirit that's in the man. It searches all the inward parts of the belly, meaning it searched the internal parts of the soul. It searched the man. The spirit that God put in you is designed to search the man or the woman, to search the soul. And that's the little voice you hear when you're doing something wrong, and you don't hear nothing outward, but inside you hear something say, you wrong. That's the spirit. That's the candle of the Lord. That's God himself represented in you by way of your spirit. Yeah. Now, watch this. Popular teaching has made that person the person. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That teaching suggests that the soul is something you have, when in reality, the Bible teaches that the soul is who you are. Yeah. Now, if I believe that teaching, which got a slant in it, if I believe that teaching that I am a spirit, That's who I am. Then scriptures say that when you got born again, the spirit became perfect. He's perfect. He's like God. He's one with God. So now if the devil can get me to believe that's who I am, and when I got born again, I became perfect, then it don't matter if my soul sinned. That's how Satan tricked us. So Satan said, well, let me put a little slant in this and just say the soul is something you have, okay? And now, later on, if I can get everybody to believe that in the church, later on, I have preachers start preaching and say, well, you can sin all you want. It don't matter because you're a spirit. It was a trick. And then it's tricked more people. Now, don't get me wrong. The soul is spirit, but it's natural spirit. But when they say I'm a spirit and I have a soul, they're not saying that I'm a soul. They're saying I'm the candle. Yeah. Do y'all understand that?
Yeah.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So it, can anybody see the slant and the trick? Let me give you another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. To show you the difference between the spirit that God put in the soul and the soul himself, which is natural spirit. Okay? But there's a difference in the two. And until you get these two right, you're gonna default somewhere. And if I teach you that this spirit inside of the soul is who you are, if I teach you that's who you are, it's going to deceive people. Because in Ecclesiastes, the Bible said this going back to God anyway. No matter what you do, that's God. It's going to go back to God. But the soul is the one that got to be judged. So if Satan said, if I could just teach him that they are the spirit that God placed in the soul, then they know the spirit has been born again. They know the spirit is perfect. So right here, the soul, I can get them to think that that's just something. It's just out there. You know, God don't care about that. And the Bible said he want to be the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Bible told the preachers, you watch for their soul.
Yeah.
It's a trick. Anybody see the trick? It's a big trick Satan played on the church. He playing it on all these preachers. Because that's where they're getting these doctrines from. That's how they're coming up with these doctrines now. Telling people it don't matter. Your sin don't affect your relationship with God. You know why they saying that? Because they know this right here is one with God. This cannot sin. And your soul can sin because this won't affect your relationship with God. Long as I can make you think that's who you are, your sin don't matter. That's where those doctrines coming from. And the Bible starts out with the first book of the Bible that man became a living soul. You're a soul with choice. You make your choice whether you want to go to heaven or whether you want to go to hell. It's your choice. This spirit that God put in the soul don't make choices. It tells you when you're right and wrong. Which means he already, if I can tell you what's right or wrong, it must be mean I know what's right or wrong. So how do the clergy get up and say to the people, I'm finna feed your spirit, when your spirit feed you? See how twisted this stuff is in the body? You can go to your Bible and your spirit can bear witness with something in truth. Why? He know. So if I can trick the preachers and say, tell the people I'm feeding your spirit, I'm leading your spirit, and God over here telling the preachers, watch for their soul. Then the soul just left over here getting weary, and they come up with just like you. That's how I was. Well, I can't do it? Because nobody teaching me about my soul. It's a trick. Satan just tricked the whole church. Just tricked the whole church. Just bring us some trick dust on us. You're a soul with choice. Now look at this right here. Here's another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It is so clear. So clear. And if you go meditate up on this. It says, what's the first word? For what man? Okay, watch this. For what man? What man? Man is a what?
Soul.
Amen. Don't y'all let this bore you now because I'm going somewhere. This is your life.
Yeah.
This is your life. You can go to sleep on that movie, but don't go to sleep on this one. Because this is your life. What man? Man is a soul. God said it. He breathed in his nostrils, breath of life, and he became a living soul. What man, what soul know the things of a soul except the spirit that's in the soul? Now, I'm going to quote it just like it's written. What man knoweth the things of a man save? It says save, but that save means except. What man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's in the man? Telling you the spirit is not the man. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Please see that. This is where the ministries are getting off at. They are not telling you. And then when Creflo got up, he got up with this teaching, didn't he, huh? He said, let me explain to you the breakdown of man. Now, we spirit, soul, and body. And let me tell you now, you are spirit, talking about the candle of the Lord. And you have a soul, and you live in a body. Because, see, he's talking about this right here, the candle. It's perfect. It's one with God. It already knows God. It's going back to God whether the soul want to go or not. Soul got to make the choice. I'm going with the spirit. You're a soul with choice. But he said, this is what you are. Your sin don't matter. It don't affect your relationship with God. Look at that scripture plain when you get home. Now I'm going to go over it one more time, then I'm going to move on. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man that's in the man? Telling you that the spirit in the man is not the man, but the man is a soul. I give you one more. Romans 8 verse 9. It's all over the Bible. He said, if any man have not the spirit of God, he is none of his. You got to have God's spirit living in you to belong to God. Okay. Now it says that, but if the spirit is in you, watch this. If the spirit is in you, then he said, you are not in the flesh. You're not just operating in your flesh. By itself, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Who's in the spirit? The soul. The soul is the person. He's trying to tell you, you are not the spirit in the soul, you are soul. If the spirit of God live in you, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. Who is the you? The soul. When you got saved, you was born again in your spirit. It was the candle of the Lord inside of you born again. The soul was washed, cleaned up, and then he took your soul and placed it in the spirit. Now, you can choose to stay in the spirit by your actions, or you can choose to go on and live the way you used to live. You are soul with choice. And because nobody taught us that when we first got saved, I got saved March the 4th, 1980. I didn't know that. I didn't know how salvation worked. So since nobody taught me that, when I got around the stuff I used to do and started thinking about it, I just did it. Because I had doctrine telling me, you're human, God understand, you know, all of us gonna sin. So I got entangled again. And now when I got entangled again, it seemed like I can't live for God because those doctrines helped me to come out of the spirit, go back in what the Bible called the flesh. And when I start partaking of the flesh, my flesh start yearning for the sin that I gave it to. But if somebody would have taught me when I was young in Christ that, look, here's how salvation worked. Titus 3 and verse 5, the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Didn't he tell you how he saved us? By the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means a birth. We know according to the Bible, the only thing that was born again is the spirit. Then he said, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There was a washing, there was a renewing, and there was a regeneration. Your spirit was regenerated, which is birth, born. Your body and soul was just washed and renewed. It was not born. God's got a plan according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Go read it. The soul is not finished or saved or glorified or born, whichever one you want to use, until the end of your faith. That's why the Bible said, unto him that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Why are those scriptures in there? But now the preacher's telling us, you born again right now in your soul. Well, they're not saying your soul. They know the spirit is born again. Soul don't matter. You can go on and sin. Because you saved. Well, what you going to do when you get to the end and the soul have to stand and give an account? They're not telling us the truth. And I'm trying my best to reach some of these big boys. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. I pray that as I'm pouring out my heart to you that you see the big trick Satan played on the church. It's a big trick. If he could take doctrine and put a slant in it and then make you believe that doctrine, he got you. And you'll struggle in your Christianity and think this is impossible. Living for God is easier than breathing. Because when you're doing it right and got truth, the Holy Spirit, who is the helper, empowers you. He's not going to empower a lie. And most of us been lied to. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. It says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now that's why Jesus came. Because God could not change this document. The word is forever settled in heaven. And John 10 verse 35 said the scripture cannot be broken. God can't go back and rewrite that now. He said a soul that sinneth, it shall die. So Jesus said, I got to come. Because the whole world going to die because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now he said, the Bible said, 1 John 3 verse 8, I think it is. It says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now, why would he destroy the works of the devil, then send you a grace to just cover you and let you do the works of the devil? That's what these doctrines saying in the church. That you can just do it now. Grace got you. Grace is covering you. You can just... Why you think Jesus, he could have just sent the grace in the first place and never went to the cross? How in the world a body of Christ think Jesus sat there, pierced him in the side and spitting on him and bleeding just to forgive you and now give you grace and say, go on and sin now? Oh no, we better check these scriptures out. We better check Curtis Lewis out. You better check Jimmy Swaggart out. You better check Creflo out. You better check them all out. Because the Bible told you to check us out. Bible said test every spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. It said test all of us. And if ain't nobody saying it, I'm going to get all on the radio and say test everybody. Test us all. You're supposed to test your church. You're supposed to test your denomination. You're supposed to test your preacher. Your soul hang in the balance. Because a lot of folks believe a lot of stuff and they're going to go to hell believing stuff that the Bible never backed up. And I'm crying out, sounding the alarm, saying, here's the way it's supposed to be done, people. You're a soul with choice. It's your choice whether you go to hell or heaven. So this scripture can't be written no more. God done already said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he still mean that. Verse 5 says, "But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right," then jump down to verse 9 for the sake of time. "Hath walked in my statutes and have kept my judgments and deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God." So he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if the soul that obey me and live for me, he shall surely live. So the reason Jesus came is to deal with the sin that was in our life and now show us how to live. Because God done already said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the soul that and live the way I say, they shall surely live. James 1 verse 25. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Now, this scripture is in the New Testament under the grace covenant. That Bible says that whoever look in this perfect law of liberty, look into this book and do it, this man shall be blessed, which means the other man is not blessed. Simple as that. So you mean to tell me Dr. Creflo can tell me it don't matter what I do, but this book said if I do it, I'll be blessed. And if I don't, I'm not blessed. Who you going to believe, Dr. Creflo or Dr. Jesus? So you got to make some choices. Who you going to believe, the great preacher or the great Jesus? Look at Romans chapter 2. In the New Testament, under grace, here's what it says. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2 verse 13. "For not the hearer of the law and the word of God, same thing. If God says something in his word, it's law. It's not the old covenant law. Just the law, the word of God. For not the hearer of the law is just before God. Because see, you can hear about Jesus' death on the cross and hear about him and just believe. But you can die in fornication and sin. And this same preacher, I told y'all this many times, this same preacher years ago, he taught that the grace is so powerful, you can sleep with every woman in the church and go to heaven. Now, how many weak men you think going to try to live holy after hearing that?
Praise the Lord. Our time is just about up. But thank you for tuning in today. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Apostle Lewis said, we love you, thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.